Blog Talk Radio.
Like I surrendered, I didn't do what I would pray. Spending my life watching the weather, wasting time and chasing fate. I look at the life I've been designing, waiting around for my breakthrough. But I'm pushing my dreams to the side of me. I give you my all, I give you my all, and I'm not running anymore. I give you my all, I'm giving you all of me, all of me.
How you sleep at night?
cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting.
I need a whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses.
Cause they're always on time.
Come and get your breakthrough,
cause I'm gonna get mine.
All you do is say you would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
The greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at your best and hard, there's only one that can come and make it right. So ain't no need for stressing and crying, cause he gon' show up just like he did the last time. And the last time, and the last time. I know.
What
are you
doing?
Yeah.
Say what?
Heard your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Glad to be in the service of the Lord once again. Grateful to be here again. Grateful to be here. Thank you for joining us tonight for another experience with our Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord, for right now. Lord, we just thank you for an amazing opportunity to bear witness to all that you are releasing in the earth today, so that the enemy will understand his place and that the kingdom of God will prevail.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you for our assignments. We just thank you for teaching us and being with us consistently, never leaving us, and equipping us with all that we need to do the work here in the earth. So we're grateful. Thank you for joining PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. I'm one half of your host, Terrence.
I'm your other half of the host, Tanisha. Today is July 7th. Thank you. Today is July 7th, 21. It's 7:09 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are super excited to be here. We're glad that you're here. Got a lot to talk about. A lot of revelation, and we want you to get it too. You know, we're part of this network, we're part of PGN, we're part of this family, and God has really been moving, God has really been speaking. We're really believing God for some big things, and we want you to believe for big things for us as a family, as a PGN family, and in your individual lives. And God has really been teaching. I know that for myself, God has really given me the revelation of petitioning. And I know we touched on that last week, but I really want you to understand the importance of petitioning. You know, we talked about prayer and petition, right, last week. And God has really been showing me the effectiveness of it. So I want to read the scripture. Let me go there first. Just in case you didn't listen last week, it's okay. Because you listening now, and I want you to get this. You'd think I would have it ready, but I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about. But this is what we're going to talk about. Okay, we're going to go back to Philippians 4:6. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Okay? The King James says it, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. NIV says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So it's saying by prayer and petition, right? Which means that prayer and petition are not the same thing. You know, we pray, like most believers know how to pray, right? But do they know what it means to petition? Let's look up the word petition, okay? Because we're going to get this tonight. We are going to get this because I want you to have a life change. I want you to have a mind change because it always starts in the mind, right? As a man thinketh, so he is. So we're going to change our thoughts tonight so that we can win, right? We're going to change our thoughts tonight so that we can partake in the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. We are entitled to it. Okay, so let's go to petition definition. Ooh, I like this. I hope that's what it says in Merriam-Webster. You know when you put in the word in Google and something pops up? Yeah, it's the same. Okay, listen to this. A formal written request made to an authority or organized body such as a court. Come on now. A written request or call for change signed by many people in support of a shared cause or concern. An earnest request, okay, something asked or requested. To make a request to someone. So this is the way the Lord explained it to me, right? Because God is he is the judge. He's the judge. And we live in the earth that is regulated, so to speak, by spiritual laws. Now, there's natural laws too. So just so that we can understand, right, whenever you wake up in the morning, the minute you wake up, you know, thank God that you did, you are under laws. You're not feeling it every second of the day, like, oh, it's illegal to do this. But you are regulated every day by law. So you don't get to just wake up in the bed, yawn, you know, thank God for another day, brush your teeth, wash your face, hopefully put your deodorant on, get dressed, go out and do whatever you want to do. No, because you are regulated by law. And there's different types of laws in this earth. And I'm mm-hmm. talking about the man-made ones right now, right? So there's local laws, right? There's county laws. There's city laws. There's state laws. There's federal laws, right? There's different laws. And you are under all of them. So you, whatever city you live in, right, you're part of a county, then the county might have a different set of laws than the city has, and the city might have a different set of laws or different laws rather than the state has, mm-hmm. which might be different than the federal laws, right? But you are subjected and you are under all of these different laws.
Yes.
And so if you were to break one of the laws, then we have what's called law enforcement, and law enforcement can choose to punish you or to fine you or whatever, you know, is the repercussion of you breaking the laws. Now, these laws are not just to cause you to do things. It's not just for action things. It's also laws that are protection laws, right? There's different types of laws. So let's say somebody is driving their car and they just come plowing through your fence, right? Maybe it's they were having a rough day at work and they just missed a turn and they went plowing through your fence. And now your fence is completely demolished, right? You have protection under the law. People can't just come, you know, destroying your stuff and say, whoops, sorry, and go about their business. No, they have a obligation under the law to make you whole. And so let's say you watch this person, they get out of their car and you're like, what in the world's going on? Have you lost your mind? And they're like, oh, I just lost my footing, not sure what happened, sorry about that. And you got cameras, right? You got cameras in front of your house. Most people have cameras, Ring cameras and all these different type of cameras. So you tell them, hey, I'm going to get an estimate and I'm going to need you to take care of getting me a new fence. And they just kind of be like, well, you know, whatever. So you send them the bill, you hear nothing. You know, you go to their house, you know where they live, and you're like, hey, I sent you these estimates. I need to get my fence repaired. Are you going to pay for the fence? And they're like, you know I broke your fence and everything, but I just don't have the money for that. Christmas is coming up, and it's a no for me, right? So do you just walk away with your tail tucked in between your legs, and that's just the end of that? No, because you have protections under the law. So let's say your next-door neighbor is a judge, okay? And you're buddies with the judge, and you tell the judge, man, can you believe Bob from down the street plowed his car through my fence and now he's refusing to fix it? Now, even though this is a judge, and judges have certain powers, right? Judges can make decisions based on the law. He can't do anything for you, even though he has state-given, county or city, whatever type of judge he is, or different type of judges, right? Let's say he's a county judge. He has county-given power to enforce the wrong that has been made against you. It's not enough to know the judge. It's not enough to be, you know, cool with the judge, rub elbows. You know, you guys play bridge together and drink coffee on Thursday. It's not enough for that. In order for him to be able to exercise his authority, you have to petition the court. Now you go before the court with your petition. Anybody who's ever been to court knows that you it's a document, right? You petition the court. You're basically asking the court what you want the court to do for you, and you're telling the court why. Look, Bob plowed through my fence on, you know, Wednesday at 2 p.m., and, you know, I don't know why, and I told him I was going to send him a bill. I did, and he's refusing to pay. And when you petition the court, you can also attach, you know, evidence. So you got this whole Ring camera to prove that Bob plowed through your fence, to prove that you have been wrong. And so you take it to court before the judge. Now you have to plead your case before the judge and present your evidence and your facts. And based on the law, well, this is the way it should be. That's a whole other topic. The way it should go is based on the law. The judge should rule based on the law. And so with the protections that you have under the law, Bob is in the wrong because he come plowing through your fence and now you're out of fence and it's not fair to you that you should have to pay to fix your fence when he's completely at fault. And so the law would, the judge would rule in your favor. But if you never petition the court, you can't exercise your legal protection, even though you know the judge, even though you're cool with the judge and you guys drink coffee on Thursdays and play bridge together. None of that matters because in order for the judge to move and use his authority, you have to petition the court to do so. So as believers, we have laws that we are under. We already talked about we're under county, city, state, federal laws. When the minute you wake up and stretch out, you're subject to those laws. Even when you sleep, you're subject to those laws, right? But there's another set of laws that you are under, spiritual laws. There's laws in the spirit. And the enemy knows these laws, but he be acting illegally sometimes, or all the time. So you need to petition the judge. You need to petition so that the judge can move on your behalf. It's one thing to pray. It's another to petition. Formally, say, I petition you, Lord, because your word says, right? State the law. Because normally when you petition, even in a human court, a lot of times you have a good attorney. Not all attorneys are good. That's another topic, too. But typically, if you got a good one that's very thorough, you know, they say, look, Bob goes plowing through your fence, which is a violation of code, blah, blah, section 2, article 3, asterisk, paragraph 5, period, dot, net, or whatever, right? They'll put it, they make the judge's job easy for them to say, judge, per this law, they broke this law, and the remedy per the law is this, and we're asking you to enforce said law and to grant said remedy. And if you do read court paperwork, which I do because I'm a nerd like that, at the end of the petition, there's always a prayer, right? It says, prayfully hope that the judge will consider my request. Look, hear me. There is a petition that states this is what happened. What had happened was this. And because this happened,
the law says that I'm entitled to this, and I want you to do that, and I pray that you do it. That's what a human court does. I'm getting excited because I'm getting revelation. I am prophesying and ministering to myself. So if you're not excited, I'm excited right here by myself. Even the human courts will petition the court, tell the court its own law that it's over, right, that it has jurisdiction over, tell it what it wants it to do, and pray that they grant it. Read court documents. Read them. Even the courts know that you petition and you pray.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, my family, I want you to start petitioning the Lord. What is the word of God? What laws are being broken that you are being victimized? Like if Bob come plowing through your fence and you don't have the money to fix it,
mm-hmm.
Now you're a victim. Now you got a broken fence. Now the homeowner association going to come knocking at your door talking about if you don't fix that fence, by such and such day, we're going to fine you more money that you don't got. Or maybe you do have the money and you just like, why should I have to fix it? Or maybe you just went on and paid it. Now you out the money that you're going to use for a Hawaiian vacation. Whatever it is, you have been wronged. Are you going to sit there with your tail tucked in between your legs crying? No, you're not. You're gonna say, no, uh-uh. The law, I have protections under the law. And take that same attitude in life. You have protections under the law, the spiritual laws. You have protection.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let the enemy plow his car through your fence. Do not let him do that. You petition the judge and say what the law is. So this is going to require you to get up in your word.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it you might know. Petition. Lord, I petition you to work on my behalf because they are lying on my name and they are doing this, that, and the other, or whatever the case may be. And your word says, if I ask, I shall receive. Your word says, start stating what the word says. And Lord, I just pray. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're going to grant my request in Jesus' name. Now, this is new revelation for me about this petitioning thing. Okay, so I'm going to get more and more as time goes on. And the more I get, I'm going to share it. But it was really hitting me hard. And over the weekend, where we're staying at now, they've been having some problems with the water. They've been having some AC leaks or something, so they be cutting off the hot water. So sometimes you be ready after your long day, you musty, you sweaty, you want to take a shower and relax, and you turn on your hot water, and behold, it's cold. So you wait a little bit. You know how older pipes are. Come on, East Coasters, you know. So you got to give a little minute. I'm not in the East Coast, but I know how the East Coast pipes are. Some of them, with them older buildings. Sometimes you got to give it a minute. You know, you got to have your patience. You're like, it's not a big deal. It's cold right now. 5 minutes, it's going to be scalding hot. But no, the water stayed cold. So I'm like, here we go. So the kids took showers, but it ended up being like lukewarm. Right? And I'm like, the Lord, I want it to be hot or cold. I don't want it to be lukewarm. So the kids took lukewarm showers. They was cool with it. I waited a little while, and then I'm like, okay. When the night started winding down, I want to take my shower. So I turned it on, hoping that it was going to be a little bit more warm, and it wasn't. And the Lord said, petition me. I literally petitioned the Lord to intervene on my behalf and make that water hot. Do you know, I kid you not, I tell you no lies. That water turned the hottest it's ever been the entire tenure that I've been living in this complex. And I've been here 16 years now. Smoke was coming from the hot water. Steam, I mean. Yeah, smoke, steam is the same thing. Is that what I'm talking about? Yeah, smoke and steam is the same thing.
You can definitely smoke cannabis.
Okay, I guess smoke comes from something burning and steam comes from hot water. The Lord taught me about that. Anyway, steam.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, my amazing husband. Steam was coming from the pipe. They're like, smoke? What kind of faucet?
We'll
burn it from the 1820s. But yeah, it was scalding hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was scalding hot. And even like with my job situation, I had fallen behind in my emails. And I've been trying to get a handle for over a month now. And I petitioned the Lord to help me to get a handle on it and to help me. And I, Monday, I had 112 emails that were steady piling, and I work emails all day. I have two systems that I work, email being one of them. And I wasn't even able to touch my other system because I was so trying to catch up on my emails. And as I'm, you know, the more I'm working them, the more that's coming in. So it was feeling like it was just, you know, I'm on the hamster wheel, right? And I was getting very frustrated. I was actually getting very anxious too. And I petitioned the Lord to help me with that. And Monday I had 112 emails. When I logged off Friday, I had 3 emails. I've been trying to get a handle on my emails for over a month. I had 3. I petitioned. And there's been other things too that Terrence and I have, you know, been believing for years that I petitioned the Lord about, and we've seen it come to pass. It, I'm telling you, family, please, if you don't believe what I'm saying, take what I'm telling you to the Lord and ask the Lord, okay? Because I am not the Lord. I am a servant of the Lord. Ask the Lord. Did your servant, is what she's saying correct? Because I'm seeing things happen. I'm seeing things, and God is really moving because I'm petitioning him. And I'm using that word. Lord, I petition you. I'm using that verbiage. I'm petitioning you, and I pray, and I thank you, Lord, and I thank him. I'm petitioning, I'm thanking him. And like I said, I don't quite know how. I'm going a little petition crazy. I've been petitioning everything. So, you know, of course, I need balance in everything. But I've really been asking Holy Spirit to bring me into all truth and teach me, you know, when to petition, when to pray, all that. And so I'm not saying I got all the answers right now. I'm learning this, and I'm just giving it to you raw as I've gotten it. And I'm really excited about it, and I want you to be excited about it too. So, again, the more I learn about it, the more I'm going to teach you about it. But I'm really excited because I'm seeing it work. I'm seeing things that feel like they have been standstill gain traction, gain, you know, start to pick up speed, start to move. Things that just have been, feel like it's just been stalled. It's almost like it's got a kick in the pants and now it's going where it needs to go. I've seen it just this week alone, breakthroughs. So that's what I got for you tonight. I want to reread that scripture before I turn it over to Terrence. Again, this is Philippians 4:6. I'm going to read 6-8, amplified. Okay, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance or situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
That's real. The Lord just answered you when you was talking about you don't know how you have to do it.
Right.
He said continuously.
Mm.
Petition and pray continuously. So
this is what
we should do every day.
It says, but in everything, every circumstance or situation, by prayer and petition. Come on, mm-hmm. Somebody. Thank you. You right, the answer right there, and I didn't even see it.
Every. So make it a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
This is true believers way of thinking. It's true believers talk. True believers walk the walk, and we talk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because we serve a God that never fails and that cannot lie.
Yeah,
that is true. That always comes through.
Yeah,
always. And he said he's always with us. That he will never leave nor forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to get off here in a few minutes. So we're going to leave you alone. But the Lord will still be right there with all of us at the same time.
Right.
Somebody say God is amazing. He is like beyond amazing.
Yes.
Because our minds can't even fathom how he can be everywhere at the same time. In different time zones, parts of the world, in mountains and valleys, it doesn't matter. Prison, courts, ghettos, suburbs, it doesn't matter. He's everywhere. He sees all. He's all knowing, and that's enough to really shout about. That's enough to get excited. That's enough to trust the Lord a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, to me, that's just enough. It's just enough. But thank you, darling, for that word. Very, very, very powerful word, revelation. You know, and I really believe that that's for the body of Christ right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to petition now before we take calls and get into some calls right after we petition the throne. And so whatever it is that you might want to petition for, you can pray for, you know, along with me or just join in with me collectively. However you feel led. But Lord, we come to you boldly, Father God, because through the blood of Jesus made it possible for us to be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his blood, the word says that we can come to you boldly. We can come to you boldly and make our requests known. And so tonight we petition for PGN to grow and to be on the platform that's world renowned. Lord, we petition the throne that PGN is debt free.
Mm-hmm.
That it gets everything that is due for it to do the work that's needed to be done here in the earth. You know, we petition on the behalf of our other brothers and sisters that's listening that right now we are still in the season of manifestation, mm-hmm. the year of manifestation,
yes.
where we're going to see the seeds that we've sown in the past manifest.
Mm-hmm.
That they're blooming there. It's harvest time.
Yeah.
And we thank you now that everybody that's connected to PGN, we petition that their debt are canceled.
Yeah.
Financial debts, health debts,
mm-hmm.
faith debts are canceled. That doubt won't creep in and choke out the oxygen that's needed to breathe and to live. We bind it now in the name of Jesus. We petition the throne, Father God, that every need is met, that every individual, Father God, under the sound of my voice, that's dealing with a family member that's gone astray or battling them, we just come against that negative spirit now in Jesus' name. Their relationships are mended, that they are made whole, and that people that do not know who you are will see who you are and be given the opportunities to choose
mm-hmm.
through us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we petition this throne tonight. We petition your throne, Father God, that we make a conscious decision to be at peace, a conscious decision to be joyful, a conscious decision to walk honorably in the knowledge of you, so that we walk in full assurance and authority, that we understand who we are in you and see ourselves the way that you see us.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for these things being done, and we pray that our requests will be granted by you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 That's great. All right, let's start taking some callers.
Mm-hmm.
Start off with 919-426. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, Destiny from North Carolina.
Hey, Destiny, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Great.
We're doing great.
Hanging on in here. We ain't doing too bad for some old heads.
I'm not old. You on that ship solo. Yeah, you on that ship. I'm on the yacht over somewhere still young. I'm going to leave you on the old boat.
I want to see you sitting through.
Yeah, that's what you on there by yourself.
Oh, I still love you, though.
I love you, too.
Destiny.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, I just want to let you know that it's your time. It's your time. Things are waking up in your life. Things that have been seeming to be sleep, dead, dormant, whatever the case may be, not active. They're waking up in your life. And they're waking up because it's time. You know, God has a time set aside for everything that he wants to present in our lives based on when we are really ready to receive. And so when things reveal itself to you and it comes into your life, take ownership of that moment and that opportunity and don't be in disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
But understand this is what you have prayed for and been waiting on. And so the moment it arrives, you have to walk knowing that you are ready to handle it. You can't see when it arrives and be like, oh, Lord, what am I supposed to do? You know, and you crumble. But no, this is the moment that you've been waiting for and praying for and God has been prepping you for, preparing you for. And so when you receive it with the mindset of knowing that I can handle it. God won't allow anything to be a burden in my life. He won't bring it to me if I can't bear it. He won't allow it to show itself if I'm not capable to handle it. And so you're going to start talking yourself up and building your confidence in him. You're going to confide in him, which builds your confidence. The more you confide in the Lord, the more confident you'll be, because he'll tell you who you are to him. And so you get a better understanding of how God sees you, and you walk in that authority, and that's what I got for you tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, when you were talking about things that were appear to be dead,
mm-hmm.
basically, or sleep, rising up, what the Lord gave me for you, Destiny, is read John 11. Right, read the whole chapter, because the header is the death and resurrection of Lazarus.
Mm.
Right, because Lazarus had gotten sick. I'm gonna paraphrase it. And word was sent to Jesus that he was sick, and Jesus spoke and said, "The sickness will not end in death." Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I'm gonna read that part." He says, this sickness will not end in death, but on the contrary, it is for the glory and honor of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Okay? And as we know the story of Lazarus, he died. And Jesus got there. He told Martha, your brother will rise. Right? And I'm going to read a little bit of that part, because I want you to read the whole thing. John 11, 23. Jesus told her, your brother will rise, and then it says, from the dead. Martha replied, I know that he will rise from the dead in the resurrection on the last day. So she's thinking, yeah, he'll go to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Come on now, because if he died, listen to what Jesus said. Hear Jesus, okay? Lazarus is dead. He's telling her he's going to rise. She said, yeah, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection on the last day, right? So she has hope in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, right? So we're not talking about on the last day.
Mm-hmm.
And the life. Because he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's finish.
I'm the giver of life.
Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts, and relies on me as Savior will live even if he dies. Mm-hmm. And everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior will never die. Do you believe this? Ha! Come on, he asked her. It's not a matter of, this wasn't a debate. He dropped a fact and then said, do you believe it? 27 says, she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed and continue to believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the Son of God, he who was destined and promised to come into the world, and it is for you that the world has waited. After she had said this, she left and called her sister Mary, privately whispering to her, the teacher is here and is asking for you. And when she heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Let me just keep reading.
Yeah, keep going.
And when she heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw how quickly Mary got up and left, they followed her, assuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews who had come with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him as a close friend? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the blind man's eyes have kept this man from dying? So Jesus, again, deeply moved within to the point of anger, approached the tomb. It was a cave and a boulder was lying against it to cover the entrance. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days. It is hopeless. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God, the expression of his excellence? So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me and listen to me, but I have said this because of the people standing around so that they may believe that you have sent me and that you have made me your representative. When he had said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out.
Lazarus, come out.
Yeah. Out came the man who had been dead, his hands and feet tightly wrapped in burial cloths, linen strips, wow. And with the burial cloth wrapped around his face, Jesus said to them, unwrap him and release him. And I'm going to stop there. I want you to hear me, Destiny. There has been a situation. There has been something. There's something going on that it was sick at first, and now it feels like it done died. Here comes Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus already told you what he going to do. Do you believe? He is the resurrection. He the life. When Lazarus came out, it wasn't like there was just some mistake,
mm-mm.
Right? Oh, he wasn't really dead. The man had proof of death on him. He came out with his feet and legs bound by the strips, and he had the death shroud on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He was dead, despite the fact that he was dead. He was buried. He was in the tomb. Everybody, there's witnesses that say he was sick and died. We know the cause of death and everything, Jesus. Come on. Do you believe? He's the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
He is the life.
Mm-hmm.
He has the power to resurrect things and bring dead things back to life. Do you believe? That's it. It's not, can he do it? Do you believe? He wasn't trying to debate Martha. He was asking her a legit question. Do you believe that? I told you the facts. If I told you the sun going to rise tomorrow, do you believe? If I told you this, that, and the other, do you believe? And most times you'll be like, yeah, I believe. But the only reason why you believe is because you've experienced it and witnessed it before. But God is stretching your faith to believe for things that you have not seen before. Do you think any of these people ever saw a dead person come back to life and come bouncing out their tomb with wrapped looking like a mummy? No, they hadn't. That was something new. They weren't believing it because that's just what goes on in life. Jesus shows up at people's door like, oh, don't worry about the person dying. Jesus is on the way, so he's going to go on and resurrect them. That was not normal. Mm-mm. So they weren't believing it based on history. They were believing it based on who Jesus is. Even though that was totally out the norm. That clearly didn't even cross nobody's mind because even Mary said, had you been here, he wouldn't have died. So she wasn't even thinking, oh, he here and he going to resurrect them. Them folks was dang near sitting here trying to make him feel bad. Like, took you so long. If you was here, he wouldn't have died. They're sitting there crying and carrying on, and Jesus was getting angry. Why was Jesus getting angry? Because he knows who he knew who he was, and they didn't. They didn't know his power. But even he told Martha that Lazarus was, that whole situation was for the glory of God, and there's a dead situation in your life that don't be mad at nobody. Right? Because they could have been mad at Jesus. I'm pretty sure Mary didn't say that all pleasant. Well, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. That's not the way that went down. She was probably angry. She probably was hurt. Had you been here, he wouldn't have died. I promise you she had bass in her voice. I promise you it wasn't like her asking, what do you want to eat for dinner? There was hurt and pain involved. Because if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened had you been here. And there's a dead situation in your life. I want you to forgive whoever you feel is at fault. Because it ain't their fault. It God has allowed the situation for glory. Just like when Jesus found out, you going to read tonight, read John 11, the whole chapter. Because you're going to see that the word was sent to him when Lazarus was sick, so he's still alive. And he still stayed where he was at a few more days. Everything that God does is deliberate. He didn't come rushing. Oh, Lazarus sick. Hold on. Sorry, guys. I got to go. No, he did not. He kept doing what needed to be done because God was allowing this situation to bring him glory. So that this situation that has appeared to die, it's not the fault of the person. Yeah, God has his will, and it has to play out in the natural. And sometimes we get mad about how it plays out in the natural and the people and the parts that they play, but it's not personal. God is using it to make his will be done. So it could look like somebody dropped the ball in the natural, but you know better. You know better than that. No, I forgive you. You know, you didn't do the right thing, and it's cool. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to be stuck when you did the wrong thing and dropped the ball. I'm not going to be stuck there. Because God allowed it, or rather used it, because he knows everything. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's all known. He knows what people are going to do and not going to do before they do it. He already knows, so he uses it. He uses everything so that his will could be accomplished. And when this thing resurrects and has life in it again, all you can do is give God all the glory. Nobody could take credit for Lazarus coming back to life. Them people were sitting there crying and stuff. They wrapped the man up and put him in there. They was even scared to open the tomb. Like, oh, he's going to be funky. He's been in there for 4 days. So that was already a settled matter. He was dead and gone, period. And Jesus still resurrected him. And the man had proof of death. So it doesn't matter if that thing has long been gone and you done wept over it. You had your funeral for it. You done threw flowers on it. But there's still that underlying, well, this person, they would have did what they're supposed to do. That could have had my business, or could have this, that, or whatever the case, whatever it is. Forgive the person or people and trust the resurrection and the life. He said he is the resurrection. It's not even a matter of him being able to resurrect, because he is resurrection. It's not a matter of if he's able to give something life. He is life. He don't need to obtain it anywhere because it is who he is. Yes. He's life and he's resurrection. Yes. He ain't got to go find it nowhere. You already got it. You serve life and you serve resurrection. Do you believe that? Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we petition on your daughter's behalf, destiny, Lord, that you would, the things that you would have for her, the
yes.
plans that you have for her, that they will come into full fruition.
Yes.
And Father God, give her the faith to believe. That's all she needs, is to believe it. She ain't got to worry about how it's going to play out, what's going to happen. Do you believe? That's it.
Yes.
You didn't ask Martha, do you believe? And now tell me how you think I'm going to do it. You just said, do you believe? Explain who you are. And said, do you believe?
Yes.
And you're telling your daughter destiny tonight. You're reminding her who you are. And saying, do you believe? And help her to release those who she feels has wronged her or dropped the ball or didn't do enough. We release them right now. And give her a heart to forgive and just release. Doesn't make what they did right, but it releases them. It releases her. It cuts the tie, so to speak, so that she walks in freedom. And we thank you for that, Father God. Do what needs to be done, Lord. Give life to things that appear to have died. Resurrect. Thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I receive the word, and I believe it is so. You know, everything that was that you both stated, you know, is very, very true as the current situation. And still taking this.
You're breaking up, Destiny.
Are you guys able to hear me?
Yeah.
Are you able to hear me now?
It's kind of going in and out.
Okay. Is the connection better now?
That's better, yes.
Okay. I believe that the word is very true, very accurate as to, you know, the current events going on in my life. And I do take this very seriously. And I will be reading that chapter tonight. And I just thank you both for the time that was spent in delivering that word to me.
Amen. You're welcome. Did you have anything in particular you wanted prayer for tonight?
Actually, I didn't have anything in particular, but everything that was said just touched on everything.
Wow. Praise God. Well, we thank you for calling in, and we're looking forward to hearing the testimony of the life and resurrection in areas of your life that appear to have been, you know, to have died. God is going to do it.
I believe that firmly. I believe it firmly. Things will be changing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In Jesus' name. Well, thank you for calling in, Destiny.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
That was good. Shoot, I pulled some of that, too, for myself. That was powerful. Mm-hmm. 251-342.
Hey, this is Latrice from Alabama.
Hey, Latrice, how are you?
It is well in spite of.
Yes.
How are you guys?
Great.
We're doing great tonight.
Oh, God.
Yes, wonderful. He's a wonder, oh, oh yeah, he's a wonder in my soul, he's a wonder, oh, he's a wonder, oh, he's a wonder.
Yes, sir.
A wonder. I hear God saying tonight, Latrice, that he's going to show you why he's called wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Why he's called wonderful. Because there's a scripture. Hold on. Let me get it. Yes. Let's go to Isaiah 9. That's right. Isaiah 9:6. I'm reading King James. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And I'm here even reading that. He says he's going to show you wonderful, why he's wonderful. And he said, and I'm going to show everything else too. But we're going to start with wonderful in that order.
Glory.
In that order. So when you look up wonderful, wonderful. Oh, not that. Hold on. There we go. Wonderful means, it's an adjective which means inspiring delight, pleasure, or admiration, extremely good,
mm-hmm.
marvelous. Inspiring delight, pleasure, or admiration, extremely good, marvelous. So God says he's going to show you why he is called wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Great pleasure. You're going to experience some extremely good times. Extremely good. And it's all going to be simply marvelous.
Thank you, Lord.
Marvelous. And so to me, when I hear that, I get excited. It's like it's really party time. Like it's time to celebrate. And this is going to shift your life and put you in celebration mode. To where
thank you, Lord.
Nothing in life is ever looked at as a burden. When you look at opposition, you're looking at a time to put the word to it so you can celebrate the victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it's like, it doesn't matter what comes your way. You know that you are already victorious. So you start celebrating in advance because that's what it is. You declare what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you declare what he's going to be. And so God is going to show you his wonderful side. Why he's called wonderful. Then he's going to go down the line. He's going to show you why he's the counselor. He's going to show you why they say he's the mighty God. Not just good God, but the mighty God.
So God.
The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Yeah, so I'm gonna hang real close to you, so a little bit of can rub off over here, and cause I want to get a little bit of it. Can I have a little dripping to fall? Can I have the crumbs to fall? That fall from the side of that plate. Just give me the crumbs. But it's a royal situation, and I really see God moving you into that season of your life because
of what
he has in you that has to get out. It's a certain place you have to be in your life in order for that to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in a celebrating mode.
Thank you, Lord.
Have to be at peace. You have to be happy. You have to be joyful. For what God has in you to be delivered, people have to see it. They have to literally see what you're saying. See what you're saying in order for them to get it. And that's what I got for you, Latrice. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
What I saw was oil, like anointing oil. And so I started pulling up the different scriptures and seeing how even in the Old Testament, you know, that there was, you know, how God would have the priest make the oil. And then even reading about when David was anointed, you know, God said that he was going to be king, but then he was anointed to be the king. So there's something about anointing, you know, anointing with the holy oil. And that's what I see. I see you anointing people.
Because
God is anointing you. And I see you anointing people with oil, you know, and teaching people about the significance of the oil. Because it's not that the oil is magical, right? It's like it's almost like an expression of the belief or the faith of it. It's kind of like when you get baptized, you know. I see God really going into depth with you about the significance of the anointing oil and taking you on a journey of the importance and why. Because there's a why to everything. Why the oil? You know, why oil? You know, why even the types of perfumes and the what the priests use for the oil, and how God has used oil to, you know, consecrate and set people aside, you know. But I see God anointing you, and you in turn anointing people, and really teaching about the power of anointing and the power of oil, because that's something that people have gotten away from, you know. Believers have gotten away from. I don't know if they tie it into, like, you know, the name it and claim it prosperity gospel. So now they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. I don't know what it is, but I know that when I was first a believer, there was a very large movement when it came to like oils and anointing and all that kind of stuff. And now I don't really see teachings or people even doing it, you know. But the church that I went to, my first church, they were very big on anointing and laying hands and prophesying. So like all this stuff is completely normal to me. And I remember one time my son had got, I don't know what it was. It looked like a very nasty cold sore or something on his mouth. So, and it was like a really bad looking one. He had never had one before. And I'm new in my faith, so I got my anointing oil, and I anointed him with oil that night when he went to bed. And when he woke up, the thing was gone. And I'm telling you, it wasn't like some little crusty thing on it. Like, it was big and nasty. It was like the size of a quarter. And he was a little boy. So I was like, what is that? Like, did you fall on your face? It's not like, I didn't know. That was the best thing I could think of what it looked like. It looked like when I was growing up, some of the kids I went to school with would have cold sores, but it looked like a cold sore on steroids. It was like oozing. Yeah. It just looked really nasty. And I anointed it with oil. And the next day, that thing was gone, and it never returned. Never saw it. I even taken him to the doctor. And, like, I think my son is, you know, has cold sores and stuff, and they – no, it never came back. Never. I have lived a lifestyle of anointing, you know, anointing my kids, anointing, you know, the doorposts in my house. I anoint things. But a lot of people have gotten away from that, and I see you bringing that back, you know, and teaching on it. Not that just blindly do it, because some people do it, and then you're like, well, why did you anoint her? I don't know, because grandma did it. You know, they don't know why. You know, so they're just blindly doing stuff. But God doesn't desire for us to just do without knowing, because everything he does is about a matter of the will. Mm-hmm. The will requires thought. And so just like even when we give, he don't want us to just blindly give. He said, if you feel in some sort of way, don't even give me your money. You keep it. So the way that we feel, our thoughts are important to God. So he wants us to understand why, so that we do it out of love, and we do it out of the reason that he chose for that. And I see you really teaching people on that. Lord, we just thank you right now for Latrice. We thank you for the anointing in her life, Father God. We just petition you to use her, Lord, as in your will, to teach the body of Christ about the importance of anointing, and to reignite that, you know, but reignite it with sincerity and genuine motives, not because somebody saw it on TV or because somebody grandma did it and they just have no clue why they just monkey see, monkey do. Not that. Well, we're doing it because we understand that, because we desire, because we want to consecrate and set aside, because we want to protect, or we want, like, giving us genuine reasons why we're doing it. So, Lord, just bring her into truth with that in depth, and give her the word to be able to teach it to people to where they understand, not where they just kind of nod and hope that she be quiet so she can go away, but where they're really feeding off of her and really getting it so that they can digest it. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You all are so on point, and the anointing and the oil, we do all of that all the time at church. I do the house. I walked in my yard after I moved here, and God told me to go out and anoint the yard, every fruit-bearing tree. If it didn't produce, to cut it down. I went out. I have a lemon tree. I didn't even know it. I have all kinds of berries. I have a plantain tree and dead for maybe a year or two, and now it produces more plantains than any tree I know that has them. And about the oil, I'm doing a clinical rotation at a nursing home, and to work on my shadow. And I have the like the bottles for the hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
I have where I want to put oil and go in and anoint the client. And I'm believing God to work on my shadow, that as I walk through, the manner of disease and sickness has to go.
Yeah.
And so that's just extraordinary that you all mentioned those things. And I'm believing God that it shall happen. And it will be made manifest real soon. And that's it. It was on point as usual. And I ask that you all continue to uplift Tanisha and I in this nursing school. We need about maybe 4 or 5 points in about a week or more. But we're believing God to get it done so we can be about our Father's business.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, we come testing and agreeing tonight with the trees that Tanisha receive all that's needed and desired. That's needed and desired. Because you said you give us the desires of our hearts. So, Father, we just thank you for fulfilling the desire. And you already know the needs. You're the supplier of.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we petition the throne tonight, Father God, that
thank you
provide answers. You provide answers. You provide confidence. Assurance.
Yes, Lord.
And bring things back to their remembrance in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. And let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What I heard while Tamsin praying was finish strong.
Yeah.
If that's what, mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like I see the tortoise and the hare. It's just one of my favorite analogies and stories. Right? How the, you know, the hare looked like he was really about to do that. He was really about to win, and the tortoise ended up winning and finished. He finished strong. And that's what I see with you and Tanisha, that you're going to finish strong. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. Everybody could be ahead of the class, and everybody could be just doing amazing and wonderful and getting, like, top grades and all this kind of stuff and just doing so good and whatever else you guys have to do if you, you know, and look like you just not – going to finish strong, but God said you're going to finish strong. Mm-hmm. And he's going to use even what appears to be failure to elevate you.
Glory to your name, God.
Failure. I worked at a job one time, and I was new to the industry, and they had these classes called, or these tests called masteries, which were like a big deal. If you didn't complete the mastery, you wouldn't like get to the next level. And I had ended up failing two of them. And I did feel some sort of way. You know, I usually pick up things very fast, but I failed them. And you only had a total of two additional tries, so three tries total. So one of them, the ones that I failed, I got it on the second try. But the second one that I failed, the second try, I failed too. And so, you know, the trainers that came to me, they really liked me. They're like, look, you know, we really need you to pass this third time, because if you don't, like, basically, you're not, we can't get you to the next level. So, you know, basically, you out of here. You out of the job, basically. Right, but no pressure. Right, but no pressure. I'm like, okay, I'm really trying my hardest to do good. You know, I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord, help me to retain the information. You know, and I'm feeling like, well, shoot, maybe I should just pack my bags up and go. I don't need to be getting fired. I ain't got time for that. And God, like, you know, I got you. I end up passing it, you know, and doing very well. But that could have looked really bad, because I, in the class, had failed two of the masteries and a lot of people had not. But what ended up happening, because I had failed those two subjects, I became very good at those subjects, because my failure made me study it more, not just where I could just repeat the answers, but I started to understand the material. Right. Because I was like, if I understand it, then I'm not just trying to retain answers. I will know the answers because I know the material. And I ended up getting a promotion because I became so knowledgeable in those two areas that I had initially failed, that I ended up getting a promotion that they had reserved for people who had been with the company for 10 years, and I'd only been with the company for two. I had become so well known because I was excelling in those two particular areas that VPs, two VPs had recommended me for the promotion. So it looked like I did not finish strong, but I did. And the things that looked like they were failures ended up being what God used to springboard me ahead and to elevate me. And that's what I see with you and Tanisha. God is going to, you're going to finish strong in the areas that look like failure. They look like it.
Right.
They even feel like it. Because I ain't going to lie, when I failed that second mastery for that second subject, I was like, dang, you know, I'm on Indeed and Yahoo. You know, I'm looking for another job, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pass. If I'm trying my best and my best ain't good enough, I don't know what to tell them, you know. So it could very well even feel like you're going to fail. But I said, you know what, Lord, it's not over till you say it's over. So if you want me to take that third test, I'm not going to just bow out. I'm going to do the best that I can do. And that way, if they do let me go, I could walk out with my head held high and my box in my hand and know that I tried my best, but I passed.
Amen.
And so it could very well feel like, for this, for you and Tanisha, so make sure you tell her, it could feel like, it could feel like failure. It could look and feel like it. When something, they say, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, and it, you know what I'm saying? This don't apply. It could look and feel like failure. It's not failure. It's God at work. It's God at work. It's God making you draw deeper. That's all this is. It's a deeper thing. I could see in hindsight now, my situation, he made me draw deeper. He said, uh-uh, Tanisha, it ain't good enough for you to just be able to repeat the answers, but you don't even know what's going on. So if somebody on the outside asks you that same question at the grocery store, you wouldn't know. That's not what I want for you. I want you to know it. I don't want you to just be able to repeat it. You better than that. I could see that now. That what everybody else was doing in the past, I'm not like everybody else. I'm representing the king. I'm a representative of Christ, so I'm not going to just behave like everybody behave and just try to get by just to pass. It ain't enough to pass. He was like, "You, if you're going to say you know it, you're going to know it, because you ain't about to tell us you're lying and passing, and you don't really know what's going on. You just want to get by so you can get to the next." No. And that's what he used, so that I was true to what I was doing. I was working onto him. It didn't matter what company was paying me. I was doing the work onto him. And if he says to study to show thyself approved with the word, and I'm working onto him, then I need to study that to show myself approved for that position. And because he trusted me with that a little bit, then he gave me much. So that's for you and Tanisha, that you're going to finish strong, and the failures are going to be what catapults you. Look at the failures like, or what it looks like the failures, like a rubber band that's just, it's pulling you back. And it feels like you're behind everybody. It really does. But you don't see the rubber band that's there. So, yeah, you got to be behind them, because for something to spring forward with a rubber band, you got to pull it back.
Okay.
It has to go back. But you just don't see that rubber band. And Tanisha don't see that rubber band. But once God released, boing, there you go. You're going to bypass everybody.
Amen.
And it's going to take
Glory to your name,
that you wouldn't have been able to get with your own feet. You can't flick something with your finger. Like if you rubber band something, it's going to go, the projectile, it's going to go further. So, yeah, you have to go back to be sprung forward. So we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I do thank you guys as usual. And to God be the glory for all he has done.
Yeah.
You all have a wonderful night, and I'll be back with further testimonies.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Latrice. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was good. 240-482.
Hello, this is Valerie calling from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
How are you tonight?
Hello.
Pretty good.
I've really been blessed and encouraged by the different prayers that you all have been praying for everyone. It's and just, you know, what you were sharing earlier, it's been great.
Awesome. And when you said you're pretty good, I see the Lord saying that you're about to go. People ask you how you're doing, you're going to say excellent. Like, I see excellence being bolted to you, okay? It's one thing for you to carry excellence like a backpack. You know, backpack's something you can take off and put on. But I see God bolting it to you. Excellence, bolting. That means it's a part of you.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard something being bolted on that just, you know, it doesn't become a permanently, it's like a permanent attachment. I deal with like buildings and stuff in part of my job. And so I do like risk management. And so if I'm trying to find coverage for a building, one of the things that companies want to know is what's bolted to the building, because then they consider that a part of the building. And it might not have came with the building initially. You might have bought the building and then later on you had something attached to it. But what they determine to be part of the building versus what they consider to be something standalone depends on its attachment. So if it's bolted onto the building, it's now a part of the building. And so this is what I'm seeing with you, that God is bolting excellence onto you to where it's a part of you. And so when people say, how you do, I'm excellent. And you won't be telling no lie, because excellence is part of who you are. So you are excellent. It's like when Jesus was talking to Martha and he said, I am resurrection. I am life.
Mm-hmm.
You are excellent. And with excellence comes excellent things. Excellence going to beget excellence. And people are going to see that in you. People are going to, like, excellence and your name are going to be synonymous, to where if somebody were to say, well, Valerie's doing this, but it was sloppy and it was, no, that's a lie. I don't even got to see what you're talking about. You said she did. I'm already going to tell you right now, either there's some confusion as to who did it or you're just flat out lying. Like, your name is going to be known and tied to excellence, to where people won't even be able to lie on your name, because that's how much people are going to see it. Like, no, I don't care what you're talking about. Not her. No. Somebody else, not this one, because that's not how she operates. That's not how she rolls. And I see that being in every area of your life, of excellence. And we need that. We need to, as a body of Christ, we need a call for excellence. And I see you doing that. Like, you blowing the shofar almost and telling the gathering people, we need to be excellent. Why are we being mediocre? Why? Why are we acting like the world? That's not excellent. That's not even appetizing. That's like somebody pulling up, you hungry, and you go somewhere at somebody's house and they pull up a bowl of vomit. Who wants that? But yet here we are as a body part eating it up. Oh, you're so delicious. That's the pepper and the gray poupon. It makes no sense that here we are eating, acting like the world, when what they're offering is literally vomit. And we're better than that. And I see excellence being bolted to you and you having a call for excellence and holding people accountable to excellence, to where when people come with their little mediocre bass, oh, look at what I did. Oh, look at this. No. Well, you're not even trying to just sugarcoat, because I see that too, where people really be like high-fiving mediocrity instead of saying you could do better than that. Everybody's afraid of hurting people's feelings or shaming. You know, if you brought some mediocre dish, oh, you're dessert shaming. Everything is shameful. And try to make people feel bad because you call it something what it is. No, I'm not shaming. I'm telling the truth. You got it in you to make a good cake instead of this little sorry, sad cake that don't nobody want to eat. It ain't got no flavor, no taste. But if I say that, oh, you're dessert shaming. But people used to want people to bring out the best in them. I mean, they say everything is shameful. It don't make no sense. I'm so sick of that term, I could scream. I had a teacher when I was in the seventh grade, Dr. Riley, and I was doing the best in the class. I really was, because I've always been quick to learn stuff, or I could work good under pressure, and I could put together really great things at the very last second. I'm talking about the paper due at 8, and I'm working on it at 6. You know, I wake up in the morning before school and put up a paper and get an A. And so this is what I was doing in her class. And she started giving me really bad grades. So I called my 12-year-old self. I called myself confronting her. I told her, I want to talk to you after class. And she told me to come back after a certain period. And I confronted her. And I said, why are you giving me bad grades when I'm doing better than everybody else? And she basically told me, if that's what you consider good, you've already failed. If you trying to just do better than everybody else, I'm not here to compare you to everybody else. She said, I see what you got in you. She's like, and you're doing the stuff at the last minute. I know you're doing the stuff at the last minute. And she's like, and I admit, I know you're doing it at the last minute, and you're excelling over your peers. She's like, but I want you to do your best, not just try to beat everybody else. And until I see that effort, I'm going to continue to give you bad grades, because I'm not grading you based on, she's like, these people ain't even on your level. I'm not even going to insult you or do them like that by trying to grade you based on what they're doing. They're doing their best. She's like, and what's sad is that you're doing your worst, and your worst is better than their best, even though they're taking the full 2 weeks and putting their whole heart and soul into it. She's like, you're putting nothing into it and doing better than them. So imagine if you did put your heart and soul, what you could produce. And she taught me a very valuable lesson. I could have said, well, she's lazy shaming. That's what this generation would say. No, she expected more from me. Even though I was doing good compared to everybody else, she saw that I had the potential to do better. And that conversation changed my entire life, to where I didn't start producing based on, okay, what's the scale? Okay, the scale is here. Okay, I'm just going to do 2 notches above that and be good. No, I'm not in competition with nobody but myself. I'm going to do the best that I do, so that when I put my name on it, excellence is tied to it. Because I know my potential, because I know me. And I see you, God, using you to bring that back in the people. Not just, oh, good job. No. Say, while that's passable, that's not your best. That's not what's in you. You're going to draw it out. Draw it out of people. We're causing them to go deeper into who they are. I have to go deeper at the age of 12. I had to go deep within myself, and I was really mad, but I was like, she right, you know, but I was mad because I didn't want to put the work in. I had better things to do at 12. There was Saved by the Bell reruns, all sorts of stuff that I could have been doing with my time. But she made me look at myself different, and I was just floored that she saw that in me, because I really was doing stuff at the last minute. It was sometimes I was doing it on the bus on the way to school. She told me that my worst was better than their best, and she's like, I know you're doing it at the last minute. I was like, wow, she really sees excellence in me, and she knows I'm doing no effort. And she told me that. She's like, you're not even putting effort in it, and you're doing better than your peers who are putting effort. And so I see God using you to pull that out of people. And it's not a comparison thing. It's a them thing. They're the scale. They are the scale. It's not compared to Becky Sue or I don't care what Becky Sue doing. What's your scale? If you could do a level 10, why are you doing level 2 stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Get to level 10, level up. And not so that you can humble brag, but because you owe it to God who gave you life. This is not your life. You're a steward over it. It don't belong to you. He gave it to you. So you have an obligation to do your best. The obligation to put in this world what God wants you to put. Your fingerprint is different for a reason. You need to make sure that you're pressing it hard and leaving your impact. And that's what I see God using you to do. There's a call for excellence, but it starts, he's going to bolt it to you. And then he's going to use you to draw it out of people and in a way to where they understand where you're coming from, where they're not getting offended, because people just love being offended nowadays. I don't know if it's genuine mm-hmm. or fake. I don't know, because people get so offended about anything. The wind blowing, they offended. I mean, it makes no sense, or like hypersensitive to being offended.
Right.
But God is going to give you the words to where they get where you're coming from. So even when that offense tries to come up, the wisdom of what you're saying and the truth of what you're saying will drown that out. Say, don't be trying to get offended, because she ain't lying. And is she harming you? Is she hurting your feelings? Why are you getting offended? Was she trying to make you better, trying to make you be the best you? So Lord, we just thank you for the excellence, Father God. We petition the throne for the excellence.
Thank you, Lord.
Bolted to her. So it's a part of her. So when people say, how are you doing? Excellent. They going to think that that's about her day, but she really making a proclamation of who she is. And Lord, we thank you that you are going to send people to her, that you're going to use her to bring the excellence out in them, because they already possess it, but they're just not utilizing it. They're using a little small fraction, a little percentage just to get by. And you're going to use her to teach these people that it's not enough to get by. That you didn't die on the cross for us mm-hmm. to be mediocre.
Thank you, Lord.
He died on the cross to give us life and life more abundantly. You're going to use her to teach people how to tap into their more abundant life. But it starts with them. It starts with their actions. It starts with their thoughts. It starts with their how they view themselves. And they have to want to be the best of them, not in a competing way with other people, but just feeling like they it's an act of worship to be all who you call them. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. And just touch every area of her life, Father God. Touch every area of her life.
Thank
your healing. Your healing touch. Heal her finances. Heal her body. Heal her mind. Heal. I come against hurts and like when people hurt you or done you wrong, I come against the effect of that. The effect. Father God, use it to bring glory to your name, Father God. Use it to so that she can identify it in other people, but where she's not affected by it, where it's almost like she's been in the fire, but remove the smell of the smoke and the effect of the fire to where call the tale. Yeah, I've been hurt. I've been knocked down. I've been dogged. I've been lied on. But let me tell you about the God I serve. And I could tell you this and not feel mm-hmm. no type of way. I could just recall it. Yeah, I've been mm-hmm. there. People have done me dirt. And I could say that and say, I wish God best for their life and really mean that. But let me tell you how I got here. Use her, Father God, to pass hurts and to bring glory to you, Father God, to where she could tell people, mm-hmm. yes, this is what has been done to me. People have hurt me. But I didn't allow it to go deeper than what they did. I allowed God to heal, because hurt can get into the spirit and it could cause us to be mm-hmm. rotten on the inside. It could cause us to be bitter on the inside. But we can identify the hurt. We can bring it to God. We could be healed and we can stop its spread. We don't have to continue to let it spread and be part of us. And use our mm-hmm. Father God to minister to people and to teach people how to deal with hurt. And how to overcome it. If we can overcome death, we can certainly overcome hurt. And use her to bring that revelation and that truth to your people. Let that all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Do you have anything in particular you need prayer for?
Yes, but I just have to say, you know, when you were sharing about your experience growing up, you know, I really identify with what you're saying in terms of just, you know, I do right now, you know, feel like I'm not walking, I'm not fulfilling my potential, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, but I know that there's so much more that I could be doing, or, you know, so much more that I have the capacity to do. And, you know, even earlier this week after church, I really felt like, you know, one of the things the Lord was speaking to me about was just having a more disciplined life in every area, and to see what would, you know, what comes out of a disciplined life. And I really think that relates to what you're talking about. And I, you know, I definitely received that word. I definitely believe that is absolutely the Lord. And I just, you know, pray that I would, you know, walk in that and, you know, get to that place where I can say I'm doing excellent and be speaking about every area of my life, you know, in terms of, you know, honoring God in that way. So I get, you know, I was actually, I really was going to ask for prayer for, you know, just that I would just grow in discipline in my own life, you know, that I would deny myself, take up my cross, do the things that I know to do so that I can, you know, fulfill God's plan for my life, so that I can do things. So that was one of my prayers. And, I also, what you were praying about hurt, you know, I've really been struggling with that. And so I just thank you for mentioning that, you know, I just dealing with the after effects of divorce, and I really want to be fully healed and not allow that hurt to take over, you know, like you were saying. So I guess those two areas are kind of covered, but, I also wanted to just ask for prayer for my family, my children. There's just been a lot of strife among the kids, and they just seem very angry. And, you know, I think they're dealing with not seeing their dad as much as they would like to, but they're just very angry. And it's just more of a hostile environment in my house. And I, you know, really, I'm discouraged by that. I just, you know, feel defeated. It's like no matter what I try to do, it just doesn't seem to impact it. And so just prayer for them, for their hearts, for my heart, just for peace and, you know, just for protection over their, you know, spiritual lives and all of that.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We petition your throne. On behalf of Valerie and her children, Father God, we just come against the spirit of division and strife, Father God, and heal them. Even with what I'm getting, Valerie, like how the Lord was saying that God is going to use you to teach people how to overcome hurt. This is even for your children. This is even for your children.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to teach them how to overcome hurt. And, of course, that's a process. You know that. You know, Terrence and I both have had divorces in our past, and so we understand the pain that comes along with it and the process of healing. It's not an overnight thing. It's not a, you know, it starts with a decision, and then it's a process. And so I see God using you to teach your children how to overcome hurt. And it's different with children because there's levels to understanding. And so children's understanding is just different than an adult understanding. So some of the things will come later, you know, and you have to just don't be discouraged. Know that the healing is coming and that this is part of the process. So when, you know, when an explosion happens, the kid is, you know, having a meltdown or wanting to throw things or go off or whatever, you know, you still do what a parent needs to do. We don't excuse any behavior because you know, your dad's not around as much or whatever, so we're not going to condone any behavior. We're still going to address it, that this is wrong, mm-hmm. this is not okay. We're going to talk about it. We're going, if you need to be disciplined, you're going to get disciplined. But there, you still are walking them through it and explaining things mm-hmm. to them, because they might not understand it and get it now, but they will later. And they will, especially as adults, like, man, I remember I used to have these tantrums or meltdowns, or I used to have this attitude, or I used to, you know, feel this type of way about my siblings, and my mom would be like, this is what's going on, but we're going to get through it. You know, mm-hmm. there's hurt going on in your this age, but guess what? We're going to get through it. And I know that doesn't make sense to you right now, because I know what's going on the inside of you. I know what's happening, and we're going to get through it. And they're going to remember that. But Father God, just give her the words and the knowledge and the wisdom and insight, Father God. Give her the insight and knowledge, which your word says is wisdom, to know how to deal with each child individually and collectively. Give her the patience and the encouragement, Father God, to continue mm-hmm. on to press. This is a press. You're going to press with this. You're going to press like you've never pressed. Because that discouragement is going to try to come creeping up when you're trying to lay down and go to sleep. See, if your marriage would have worked out, if you would have worked harder, then your kids would. I'm telling you what the devil going to do. That's what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's going to try to make about you, try to make you feel bad about you. Your kids might even say stuff, but you press.
Mm-hmm.
You press. It might look like you're getting nowhere fast. Mm-hmm. It might look like you're making no progress. You continue to press, and you continue to believe God for what he said, because healing, your children will be healed. They will be. And mm-hmm. and this situation is going to make them better adults and better parents and better spouses. God is going to use this to make them identify certain spirits, because I sense there's something spiritual going on too, even with the ex-husband. You know, there's some demonic stuff going mm-hmm. on with him. Mm-hmm. So it's some of it is, you know, kids, just when they're a product of divorce, there is a certain pain that comes along with it that you have to, you know, overcome. But there is something underlying spiritual too in the situation that's attached to your ex-husband, something demonic, like a Jezebel spirit or something like that with him. And that's a nasty mm-hmm. spirit to fight. It's nasty, and it has a hold, and it pulls on its children. When it has children, it pulls on them like a puppeteer pulling the strings. It puts strings on them and tries to pull it. And Lord, we just break that. We break those those strings of that demonic, foul Jezebel spirit. We call you out.
Yeah.
We call you out, and we cast you out. You have no place in that household. You have no place on those children. We cast you and we bind you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we tell you, Jezebel, that God's servant Valerie has complete power over those children. Those children were placed in her care and custody and control, and you have no right. You have absolutely no right over their lives. And you go back to where you came from. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Wow.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You so much. You guys are, I just appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I'm encouraged.
I'm glad. And stay encouraged.
Yes.
Stay encouraged, because, you know, God has already proclaimed the healing. He's going to use you to do it. He's going to use you. Of course he uses, there'll be outside forces too, but he's going to use you to do this. You're the example. This is your living epistle moment.
mm-hmm.
You're going to teach your children mm-hmm. how to overcome pain. You're going to teach your children about spiritual warfare. You're going to teach them. And they're going to be powerful. They're going to be able to identify things, you know, at a young age. Like, this is some manipulation going on. This is some demonic mess. They're going to be able to identify that, because it's easy to manipulate kids because they're kids. But God's going to mm-hmm. use you to teach them about, even it's just harder too when it's a parent that's doing the manipulation and sowing the bad seeds into them. But that mm-hmm. we're casting that out, and God's going to use you to teach them how to overcome that, how to be healed, and they're going to end up, God's going to use this for his glory. They're going to be on fire to where they're going to be able to identify that in people. They're not going to be able to be deceived as adults.
Amen.
And they're going to be able to help people
Amen.
Who are to come out of it. So we just thank God for it.
I think you were talking earlier about, with one of the callers, about anointing with oil, and I was just reminded. I was like, oh, you know, that's something that I need to do over my own children.
Yeah, anoint them babies with oil, their beds, their pillows, your door frames, so when people like come through your front door, anoint all that stuff, speak that on that those demon spirits and all that stuff got to stay up. You can't come in. Anoint the windows,
mm-hmm.
all that. Do that. Anoint them babies. They'll wake up and just slathered in oil. Like, go back to sleep. I got this.
Amen.
Plenty
that's
of times
right.
I can
that's right.
up like, what is this oil on my forehead? Don't worry about it. That's just because you kept by Christ. That's all you need to know. Get dressed so you can go to school. So, yeah, just
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
do what needs to be done, but just know that them babies are protected and keep, when you pray, Lord, teach me to overcome, because this is something you got to overcome. And teach me how to
mm-hmm.
be patient in the process, because there is a suffering
yeah.
that's going on. There's a suffering, and that's just the facts. But this suffering is going to give you endurance. We all want endurance, but we don't want to pay the price for it. And unfortunately, the price is suffering. So God is using, he's going to use your suffering to give you endurance, which is something that we need. We need endurance
mm-hmm.
for some of the races that God has for us, and some of the things that some of the paths that he has for us require endurance. So he's using it all. Just stay encouraged.
I will. Thank you. God bless you guys so much.
Thank you. Well, God bless you. Well, we're going to get off because we went over time. Randy is going to be on 9. Mm-hmm. Call back in at 8:45. Hit 1. Get in the queue. He prays over everybody. He's been having some on-fire teaching this week. But we thank you all for calling in. We love you all. Good night.